At WakeMed MyCare 365, we deliver convenience others only talk about every day of the year. Primary care and urgent care under one roof. Multiple locations, virtual visits, walk-in or schedule an appointment online. From annual physicals and routine care to sinus infection, strep, or the flu, we couldn't be more convenient. Learn more about our kind of care and our kind of convenience at wakemed.org.
The Aluminum Company of North Carolina is proud to sponsor Kane's Corner with Adam Gold.
Now it's a power play opportunity for the Florida Panthers. As it comes out in front, Anderson robbing Verhaeghe. On a broken play, Verhaeghe got loose.
Great save.
Now Carolina gets a chance out in front. Bobrovsky with the save, but a hand pass is called. And now Matthew Tkachuk trying to get it going with Aho. And the rest of Sebastian Aho's teammates get in the middle of that. Tkachuk trying to work his way around the crowd, and Andrei Svechnikov not having any of it. Martinuk steps into his man. That's Barkov, and the Canes settle this one down. Now a stretch pass for Staal. Staal has it knocked off his stick. Jovic shoots, he scores! Bobrovsky didn't see it. High to the glove. 1-0. Seth Jarvis and the Canes. Chatfield was peeling back. We'll get a stick to it. Still along the boards. Chatfield will flutter one. Bounces. Kuznetsov, Gensel. Still bouncing. Kuznetsov, Gensel. It gets past him. Canes keep it in. Low shot, Orlov. Save Bobrovsky. Natchez from an impossible shot angle. Beats Bobrovsky, and it's 2-0 Carolina. Here's Gensel trying to work this around Ekman Larson. Natchez steps in on the plate. Chatfield. He'll get it across. Kuznetsov works and scores! Natchez out in front, and Gensel just a hair away from his first. Hit the post and stayed out. This line is flying in this period, along with Jalen Chatfield.
Mahura go into the corner for it, and
a gigantic hit is leveled, and behind the play, there's a dust-up. The Canes will get to the puck, still waiting for a whistle as Staal was involved in it. And Staal just throws Mahura down. And he's telling a younger brother, have a seat. This one in a bouncing puck. Florida's not ready for it. And he scores! Oh, my! Andrei Svechnikov, just like you draw it up. And it's 4-0 Carolina.
This guy's magical ability to score empty net goals after Slavin makes a tremendous play is spindling and extraordinary.
This is Kane's Corner with Adam Gold, a production of 99.9 The Fan. Now, here's your host, Adam Gold.
Welcome to the Kane's Corner podcast. I am Adam Gold. Thank you very much for giving us a few minutes of your evening, afternoon, depending on where you are, and if you are hanging out with our friends in Australia. It is afternoon, as a matter of fact. I have no idea what time it is. Y'all's kind of screwy time zones down under. Maybe it's the Southern Hemisphere. I don't know. But thanks to all of you for spending some time with us after a Hurricanes 4-0 win over the Rangers. Over the Panthers. Wishful thinking, I guess. After Tuesday, I know that there were a lot of people who are, oh man, I just don't know if we're good enough to play with the Rangers. I got people talking to me on Twitter who are like, huh, I thought the Hurricanes were better than the Rangers. I think they are. That doesn't mean you're going to win. I'll give you this. I think Florida's better than the Hurricanes, but the Hurricanes have won the last two. Sometimes it's just your night. I thought tonight Carolina was the better team, and I thought the first 15 minutes of the game, it looked like it was going to go the other way. The first 15 minutes of this one kind of reminded me of the first 15 minutes, maybe the first 20 minutes, of the game on Tuesday night. We can talk about the goal, but I don't think anything like that happens unless Carolina completely changed the way the game was played with the bump-up shift after their second power play. Because to me, that was the difference in the game. Carolina, honestly, wasn't very good on either of their two first period power plays, or frankly, any of the others. Power plays in a little bit of a rut at this point. Five for their last 40. But the Hurricanes' second power play was a dud. It fizzled out. But the bump-up shift right after, which led to Martinook bodying somebody off the puck, Slavin getting the puck in the neutral zone, stretching it out up the ice to Staal, who, fortunate defensive play where the puck goes right to Jarvis. And this was a brilliant, brilliant goal. Jarvis goes from backhand, brings it tight to his body forehand, and just snapped it over the glove side shoulder of Bobrovsky for 1-0. Carolina wasn't the better team in the first period. They were the better team over the last, say, 4 or 5 minutes, and that goal came late. It came at 19:11 of the first period, gave Carolina the 1-0 lead. And remember going back to Tuesday, Carolina almost got away with the period. And what that first goal did was it just gave the Rangers room to breathe. Now, the Rangers were the dominant team in the first and probably felt justified in the goal, and I agree. The Rangers played well enough to have gotten at least a goal, maybe two, in the first period. But they didn't until the lucky goal that goes off Shea's boot. Tonight, Florida probably felt like, man, we were the better team here. We deserved the lead. But, and then you're behind. And Carolina's been in the same position before. There were the game in Winnipeg earlier this year where Carolina dominated the first period and was down 1-0. I mean, look, hockey can be dumb at times, and we see it all the time. It's not like it only happens to Carolina. It happens to a lot of teams. And I think Florida probably felt like they were the better team after one period and looked up at the scoreboard and it was 1-0 Carolina. But that last 5 minutes and the goal changed the game. Because from that point on, Carolina was dominant. Absolutely dominant. I mentioned this during the aftermath, and I'm going to mention it here again in a second. But first,
Adam Gold in studio with my friend Dallas Spruill from the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. You guys do so many things. Windows, doors, siding, gutters, awnings. Roofing.
Roofing is the most important part of your home. You want to make sure you keep the water out. Our roofing products made by CertainTeed, the shingle roofing, it comes in a lot of different colors, a lot of different styles, but it has a 50-year, 5-star warranty on all material and labor backed by the manufacturer. It's non-prorated.
I've never heard of a 50-year warranty. I always hear like 20 or 30.
Unless a tree hits the house or you have some storm damage, it'll be the last roof you ever put on your home.
I like that. What about metal roofing?
We do a lot of metal roofing. We got the standing seam, comes in a lot of different colors, and it'll last forever, but it doesn't have the 50-year warranty like the shingled roofing does.
Sounds like you're pushing shingle roofing, which you should, probably.
It's affordable, and again, it's hard to beat because it's really the last roof you'll have to pay to put on your home.
Dallas Spruill from the Aluminum Company of North Carolina, aluminumcompany.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let me remind you that we are brought to you by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. If it's for the exterior of your home, you can find it at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina on Hamlin Road in Durham. No place like it. Sammy Ann and his crew, they do a phenomenal job. And you should check them out online for all of your exterior home improvement needs. So let's just use, for the sake of this particular exercise, let's just use 5-on-5 numbers. Especially because of the end of the period. Carolina was better in the first. They were better in the second. The numbers don't look as bad in the second, but I think we all know how much better Carolina was than Florida in the second period, especially over the first 10 minutes of the second period. I thought it was an even period, the last 10 minutes of that, and Carolina actually had to kill off a late power play, at least a beginning of it, first, say, 80 seconds of it before the second period ended, and then have to clean it up on the back end. But the first 10 minutes, Carolina just absolutely owned Florida. They could have scored more than the two that they got. But Florida, for the game, at 5-on-5, the entire game had 29 shot attempts. 29 attempts at 5-on-5 for the entire game. Like, I know it seemed like there was a lot of power play time, and there was, but they played more than 43 minutes at 5-on-5. Carolina wasn't particularly dangerous all game long. They certainly had their moments. Carolina had 55 shots on goal, shot attempts. That's light for them. 29 shot attempts allowed. And in all situations, the number was only 38. And 8 in the third period. Now, I mean, Florida probably comes out early. You're hoping to get a goal on that brief power play leftover. But then you got another power play when Aho went to the box for, I don't even know what Aho did that time. But he goes to the penalty box, and you get another power play, and you don't get the goal. And I think from that point on, I thought Carolina just kind of choked the life out of the game. And they were just absolutely textbook sound. Here's how you play the third period with a lead. We have the puck. You do not. So I just thought, especially in the third period, in all situations, Florida had 8 shot attempts. Carolina was the better team. Probably like the Rangers were the better team Tuesday night and got a deserved 1-0 win. I mean, after the first period, I thought it was a relatively even game. Carolina might have even been, in the grand scheme of things, over the last, say, 35, 32 minutes, Carolina was probably better. But the Rangers were so good and got the lucky goal in the first period that Carolina just couldn't get even. But tonight, after the first 15 minutes, this was a Carolina Hurricanes clinic. And it was good to see because Florida plays in a way that you're going to see in the playoffs. And Carolina was up to it tonight. And they were happy to dish it back. So I'm usually very critical of Andrei Svechnikov. I don't like the fact that Svechnikov took a penalty, the extra penalty, in the first period. But I don't hate why. This is not one of those lazy or silly retaliatory penalties, right? This game was going to be about aggression and post-whistle face washes and scrums and discussions or whatever it is, right? I do believe that there was a time where Tkachuk and I'm trying to remember who it was, might have been Nason. I believe they were discussing whether or not Barbie should have won the Oscar over Oppenheimer. I'm not sure, but there was a lot of that tonight. And this was the type of game where, in normal cases, you don't want to see it. But I didn't hate the fact that Carolina was involved in post-whistle disturbances. That's what you're going to see in the playoffs. How do you deal with it? I thought Carolina dealt with it pretty well tonight. And here's probably the other reason why I was not mad at Andre when he went to the box. I mean, you hate to see it, but here's why I wasn't mad. Because frankly, Carolina shouldn't have been shorthanded at that time. You want to send Svechnikov off because he swung his stick at the back thighs, really, of Tkachuk? Yeah, that's fine. But if you want to even it up, if you're going to put Tkachuk in the box, since he instigated the entire skirmish, you want to put him in the box, fine. I want somebody to tell me what Sebastian Aho did to deserve a penalty. I don't see it. Nobody saw it. Now, if it happened and there's a Pruder film that shows that there was a second slasher, fine. But I don't believe there was. So, I wasn't mad at Svech for that. That was a game that was going to need responses physically. This isn't Andre's mad after a clean open ice hit and going back at, who was it, Gustafson of the Rangers on Tuesday night, or going after Timo Meier, who missed him with an open ice check, which frankly would have been a dirty play if he did hit Andre, and maybe that's why Andre reacted But those are undisciplined penalties. Tonight, I think I'll cut Andre some slack here because this game was going to demand from you a level of physicality. So I really didn't have a problem with Andre playing the game that way tonight because I think the game needed it. And Jalen Chatfield did it at the end of the second period, too, because I think the game needed it. Awesome stuff, I thought, from Carolina pretty much throughout, but certainly surviving the first 15 minutes. And I know, although I want to give you guys credit, I did not get a lot of pushback so far because Frederick Anderson got a shutout, first in more than a year. And I did not give him one of my three stars. Oh, the Vapas. I thought Freddie was excellent tonight. I thought after the first period, there wasn't a lot to do, but he was really good in the first period. I thought he did all of his work there. Only 11 shots on goal after the first period for Florida. 10 in the first period and 21 for the night. As a matter of fact, at one point, I believe Florida was out shooting Carolina. I think it might have been 10-7. And the rest of the game, Carolina just really controlled it. Carolina had a lot of players that could have gotten stars tonight. Like, to be honest, Jacob Slavin was awesome, as always. Or as we say in Merseyside, as ever. I'm not in Merseyside. Slavin was great. I thought Burns was great. The Chatfield-Orloff coupling was great tonight. Chatfield was exceptional. He got one of my stars. I didn't like the top line, but I loved Teuvo Teravainen on the penalty kill. I thought Turbo was at his best shorthanded tonight. Kuznetsov, Natchez, Gensel line was tremendous. Kuznetsov got my first star. Gensel could have easily gotten a star. Natchez scored the second goal, and not that long after that, finally snapped into good Marty again. But man, up until that point, it was the old puck management gong show that we were hoping leaves. We don't want that Martin Natchez. But, you know, because it was really at the end of a bad shift when Natchez scored to make it 2-0. He had given the puck away in both ends. He gave the puck away in the offensive end, which led to all the zone time, which led to Carolina finally getting the puck back and then creating something out of nothing. And it ends up on Natchez's stick, and it just an unbelievably dazzling rich wrist shot makes it 2-0. But it really wasn't a good shift from Natchez. And it resulted in a goal. I guess you're living your best life at that point. And then the next 6 or 7 minutes was a swarm. And that line, Kuznetsov, Natchez, and Gensel, they were a handful in the second period. They were really good against the Rangers as well, just didn't get a goal. So they end up with 2 goals tonight. Just absolutely dynamite. Remember, I spoke to Rod before the game yesterday, or I keep saying yesterday, Tuesday, and he basically admitted that, yeah, Gensel will eventually play with Aho. And I do think that's probably the right thing to do. But for the time being, especially when you consider the last 2 games, I don't think you mess around and break up Kuznetsov, Gensel, and Natchez, because right now they are, to borrow from Trip Tracy, cooking with oil, gas, and gravy. That line could have scored 5 times tonight. Gensel hit, 2 posts? Something like that. They were really good. And Natchez got finally figured out his game. Like, okay, I have to stop doing those things. About midway through the second, I thought they finally got back to it. So that was good. Doug said, I totally missed how Chatty ended up getting 2 roughing calls on the same play. A minute and a half before the end of the period. I don't remember who it was with, but there was some extra stuff. It was after a whistle. And I think Chatfield went back for more, took an extra shot. So they gave him the extra 2. I wasn't put off by any of it. Not a single bit tonight, because I thought the game needed it. They needed it from Carolina. Let's be honest. We've seen Florida enough. This is the way Florida plays. Rod Brindamore also referenced it in the postgame that they were missing two players or a couple of players. I don't know if he said two or not. No Sam Bennett clearly changes their team. Anton Lundell was playing second line center tonight. Kachuk, I don't remember who was on that line with Kachuk. So Lundell was playing second line center, where it normally would be Sam Bennett, and Lundell drops to the third line. So they're missing a pretty big component of their team, and Aaron Ekblad continues to be out. The Panthers were not whole tonight. Yes, the Hurricanes missed Jack Drury, but, you know, Panthers were not whole tonight. And Rod brought that up because those guys do make a big difference in Florida's lineup. But with all of that said, Carolina got to their game. And when Carolina is playing their game, I think they can play with Florida, but this is the way Florida's going to play. And if you meet Florida in the playoffs, first of all, great thing, Eastern Conference Finals, unless something absolutely bananas happens between now and then. One of the teams would have to completely go in the tank for them to not, them to be a wild card. That's the only way that would happen. So if you see Florida again, or anybody in the playoffs, you play the Islanders in the first round, which I still think is a very likely scenario if you finish second, well, you better be ready for extra stuff after the whistle. And that's the way Carolina played it tonight. And I just thought that was good. I didn't think the officials did a particularly good job meeting out discipline, because we had two situations or three situations where there were multiple penalties and an extra two. And I thought they got all of them wrong. I think all of those should have been, you know, matching minors, and that's it. They should not have resulted in power plays, because there just wasn't enough there to give a team a power play. Frankly, Hurricanes power play right now, but booty bad. 0 for 5 tonight, 5 for their last 40. Here's an interesting statistical number for you. In the season series between the Hurricanes and the Panthers, there have been no power play goals scored. Zero power play goals scored. I find that interesting. Do you? I'm glad you do. All right, let's see what else we can discuss here. Let's spend time on two different topics, and then we will wrap up a 4-0 Hurricanes win. If I can slide through some questions here. Doug Williams is right. The Aho line needs to pump it up. Yeah. They were not good against the Rangers either. I'll just say this. I'm not really worried about them answering the bell. They, you know, Sebastian and, well, I personally think it's more about Andre than it is about Seabass at this point. I didn't like Andre's game again tonight. Again, I'm not complaining about the penalty. I just didn't like his game overall tonight. But that was a hell of a empty net goal. First of all, Slavin makes a great play to hold the blue line up so Florida can't enter the zone with the puck, because Slavin took the puck. But Svechnikov retrieves it. And then, just trying to backhand it out of the zone, he banks it off the wall, and it goes all the way down. About 175-foot bank shot. Off the stone guy. Nothing but net for nothing. Andre is an empty net vulture. Empty net vulture. But he wasn't very good. They need Andre to get back to being Andre. Now, two things. One, Anderson, great in the first period, solid the rest of the way. Here's the way I think it plays out. It's going to be a competition. I think that they are going to alternate goalies. I think Rod will hand the net to the goalie who plays better. If it's close, I know what you think I'm going to say. If it's close, I think he gives the net to Piotr in game one of the playoffs. Tripp has always made a very good point about Anderson. If you can put a chip on Anderson's shoulder, even better. And if you give the net to Kochetkov to start the playoffs, first of all, he would have earned it. But you know, in the back of your mind, you got a ticked off Freddie because he wants to play. That's what happened last year. Freddie did not start the playoffs on the bench because he was hurt. He started the playoffs on the bench because Antti Raanta had won the job. Raanta was the better goaltender down the stretch, and therefore Rod gave him the net early in the Islanders series, and things looked very good until Rod decided break glass. He went to Freddie, and Freddie was great the rest of the way. Matter of fact, I think the only game Ranta played after that was the game two of the Eastern Conference Finals after we played, 240,000 minutes of hockey in game one. So that's the way I think it's going to go. I think we'll see Kochetkov in Toronto where he won the last time. And then I think you'll see Freddie in Ottawa. And I think you'll see Piotr on the island. I mean, I guess Rod could try to give Freddie back-to-back starts. Wouldn't be the worst thing that ever happened. Freddie certainly played solid tonight. Do you want to give the net to Freddie going back to Toronto? I'm not sure that matters. It's Freddie. I don't think Freddie plays those games. But Kochetkov does have, last time up there, Kochetkov was outstanding in a win. So just kind of thinking along those lines. That's where I think Carolina's goaltending is. And goaltending certainly has been outstanding. And I think a very reasonable expectation is that the goaltending, even in the postseason, will at the very least be good. Now, we've talked about this before. If you think about a baseline, I think Anderson's baseline, his even keelness and all of that, his baseline is probably not necessarily higher, but I don't think you're going to get wild variations from his baseline. Kochetkov, because there are wild swings, but if you get good Kochetkov, I think he's the better goaltender. But Freddie was also very good. By the way, sneaky good save in the first period. I'm trying to remember, I think it was Nick Cousins threw it from the corner off of I don't know if he saw an opening. I don't think there was an opening, but he threw it out in front. It went off of Freddie's skate. And then he actually ended up sweeping it out of harm's way. It wasn't going to be a goal. If Freddie doesn't touch it, it doesn't go in, I don't believe. But he was alert. So I think you could see early on that he was super into the game. All right. And the final thing, we talked about it in terms of line combinations. I'll be interested to see how this thing plays out because Rod does want to get Guentzel with Aho. And if I was going to guess right now, I would say it's probably Teuvo Teravainen that will play with Aho and Guentzel. Second line, scoring line, we'll do it this way, will be Kuznetsov, Natchez, and I think Svechnikov. And then the third scoring line will be, when he comes back, I think Jack Drury is going to draw back into the lineup. And you'll see Jack play with, right now, it's Faust and Nason. But something tells me that we're going to see Nason, Drury, and Jarvis on that line. And Carolina go with Jesper Faust back with Staal and Martinook. I will say this about the Staal line. And I said it in the last podcast, and I talked about it today on the radio and the day job. I think that line has been struggling a little bit of late. They didn't tonight. They were phenomenal tonight. Jordan Staal was one of my three stars. I thought Staal was great. Won a bunch of faceoffs. Controlled Alexander Barkov. But I think they need Jesper Faust to truly play with the heaviness that they need. Now, I understand why Rod wants Seth there. Seth's game is similar to Staal's and Martinook. It really is. It is kind of a very simple game. Seth just adds the element of skill to the whole thing. But I think to get that line being as good as it can be, I think it needs Jesper Faust on it. And I'll be curious to see if Rod makes the switch back to Staal, Martinook, and Faust, and lets Jarvis play with Drury and Nason right now is my guess, because that would give you three, I think, pretty good scoring lines, and then you have your checking line of Staal, Martinook, and Faust. But then again, I sit here and speculate about these things all the time, and it never actually comes to fruition, so what do I know? I just get the sense that we're going to have to head back there eventually.
Jake, I'm getting worried. My house hunt's taking longer than expected. We've made so many offers and keep losing out.
You could really use the JAG advantage.
What's the JAG advantage?
The Jim Allen Group, number one real estate team in the state since 1996, with the largest inventory of home sites in the Triangle, 11,000. And they rep more than 65 communities.
The Jim Allen Group? Oh, I get it. The JAG advantage.
Goal! Learn how you can score with the Jim Allen Group at thejagadvantage.com. Equal housing opportunity.
Your heart. It's the only one you have. Fortunately, you also have a choice. Expert cardiologists, talented surgeons, highly skilled specialists, all of whom chose WakeMed. Why? The main reason is the same reason patients choose WakeMed. Everything you need for the best possible care is right here. Learn more at WakeMed.org. WakeMed Heart and Vascular Physicians. Your heart, your choice.
We are brought to you by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. If it's for the exterior of your home, you can find it at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. No place like it. Sammy Hanna and his crew do a great job. You should check them out for all of your home exterior, home improvement exterior needs. Yes, that, aluminumcompany.com. From Vince, Kuznetsov has such great hockey IQ. Yeah. So does Gensel. Hurricanes are blessed with a lot of guys with hockey sense. Blessed with it. There's a lot of things to be encouraged about. The defense is playing exceptionally well. Goaltending has been very, very good. You remember when Carolina had the worst goaltending in the league, right? Does everybody remember that? Probably for the first 15, 20 games, worst goaltending in the league. It was hard to overcome some of their bad goaltending. They've overcome it. They've had top 10 goaltending for the last 50 games. Maybe not 50, 40 games. Because we've got 16 games left. 16 games left. Yeah, for about the last 40 games, they're getting top 10 goaltending in the NHL. Maybe even better than that. Maybe top 6 or 7. That's how good the goaltending has been. No joke. Kochetkov's played great. When Ranta was asked to play, apart from a couple of games here and there, he played well. Spencer Martin, who was really the third goaltender here now, he played well. And Freddie Anderson has come back and played really well tonight, exceptionally well tonight, especially in the first, but he's played well in general. And that'll do it for us. We'll see everybody from, I'm not going to Toronto. You might be going to Toronto. I will see you right here on the Canes Corner podcast. Do yourself a favor. Well, do us a favor. Don't do yourself a favor. Do us a favor. And maybe yourself. Like, subscribe, caress, whisper sweet nothings to the Canes Corner podcast live on YouTube. There are buttons to push, sprinkles to shower over everything. If you want to do a rating and a review, that's fine as well. We're happy to do it. We enjoy doing this. We enjoy talking to you. And I continue to be thrilled at how much you guys like this. That's why we do it. All right. So thank you very much. And we'll see everybody after the Canes and Toronto on Saturday night. Until then, take care.
You've been listening to the Canes Corner Podcast with Adam Gold.
Hey, I want to drive the Zamboni. Yes, I do.
The Canes Corner Podcast is a part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network.
Are you ready for the big game? At The Designery, we can help you arrange your kitchen in the perfect way to feed everyone coming over for the big game. I'm Dana Merrill, the owner of The Designery in North Raleigh.
And I am Drew Merrill. I am the project manager.
The Designery is a lovely kitchen, bath, and closet remodeling company. We do pretty much any of the utility spaces in your house. If you want to store things in your cabinets, if you want to work on things on your countertops, if you want to have a floor that can get wet or muddy, we're the place to help you fix your home up.
We are the Designery North Raleigh, located at 3030 Wake Forest Road in the Holly Park Plaza. We would love to see you, or visit our website at thedesignery.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.